Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture reading today is Exodus 16, 2 through 5, and 16 through 21. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the whole wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we have died by the hand of our Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our full of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they proclaim what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenny. I expect all of you to get exactly one omer when we come to communion later. It's a common measuring stick, you know. We are still in our series looking at the Lord's Prayer, and last week Pastor Carol asked us what kind of Christians we wanted to be as we looked at "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And this week we are continuing with "Give us this day our daily bread." But listen to how far we've made it in this prayer from Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, where do you do your grocery shopping? Are you a corner store person? Or maybe you prefer a dedicated grocery store like King Supers or Safeway or maybe Trader Joe's. Or maybe you like an all-in-one store like a Walmart or a Target. Or maybe you're a bulk buyer and you make Costco runs or Sam's Club runs. Where do you do your grocery shopping? And how frequently do you do your grocery shopping? Are you the everyday shopper? There's always something that needs to be picked up from the store, or do you try to plan ahead and get a full week's worth of groceries in one trip? Well, this prayer from Jesus is in both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, and they're almost the same, but there are some slight differences. And one of the differences between Matthew and Luke is that Matthew says, "Give us this day our daily bread," whereas Luke has Jesus saying, "Give us each day our daily bread." A subtle difference. My friend Patrick, who we do the sermon series together, we were looking at this text today, and he commented that these were different ways of shopping with God. For if you pray for this day, that's being a daily shopper. No other day is this day. Even tomorrow is not this day until midnight. It's something that has to be prayed daily. But if you can pray for each day, that is something you can store up. That's making a Costco run with God. God, each day, that can cover me ad infinitum. Store up several days worth of daily bread with one prayer with God. But when we say the Lord's Prayer now, later in the service, which version do we use? "Give us this day our daily bread." So sorry if you're a Costco person. It seems with prayer, the daily shopping won out. And nowhere is this more clearly illustrated than in the first text we heard from Exodus, where the Israelites are hungry in the wilderness, so God sends them this strange substance that they call manna, and the closest translation in English would be whatchamacallit, a highly technical name. But did you catch God's instructions to them? Gather what you need. No more, no less. Those who tried to Costco it up and fill their pantries, it wasn't good the next day. Those who tried to leave some on the ground, worried that it wouldn't come again tomorrow, it bred worms and grew foul. Those who thought God was kidding about resting on the Sabbath and they thought, oh, the manna will come again tomorrow, so they didn't gather double, they went hungry that day. God prevented them from having more than they needed or less than they needed for this day. And on the Sabbath, the day before, God gave them this day and enough for God's day of rest. No more, no less. Or if you look at the proverb that we had to begin worship, it hits on this too. Give me each day what I need. For if I have too much, I might forget you are the one who provides, it says. So one of the main ideas in this prayer from Jesus is to remain connected to God this day, every day. Because God is the one who provides everything we have. But this can be hard for us as Americans. Most of us, not all, but most of us can stock up our pantry. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us can just run to the store or a restaurant if we're running low on food. We don't strictly need to pray this day for our daily bread because King Soopers has us covered. I know someone who went on a mission trip to Africa, and in the village they had this small granary where they stored up food in between harvests. And this person I knew asked one of the villagers, what do you do when you run out of food? What do you do when the granary is empty? And they just kind of stared back, confused. So this person went over, pointed to the bottom of the granary, and said, when the food reaches here, what's your backup plan? The villager, still confused, said, we starve. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us don't strictly need to pray this every single day because we have a plethora of backup options. We will not starve if our pantry runs out of food. We don't need our daily manna because Trader Joe's is there. Our granary isn't going to run out. Praise God for that. This is an immense blessing we have, but as the proverb warned, it also disconnects us from that rhythm of connecting with God this day. So if we are so blessed that we don't literally have to pray for our daily bread, what else is covered here? Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote about this, that daily bread covers the entire sphere of the necessities of physical life. It's anything you need to survive this day. And there are times in my life where I have absolutely needed patience to survive this day. There have been some times where I have needed hope to survive this day. Sometimes I have needed trust to survive this day. What do you need to survive this day? Even if it's not literally bread from the store. Or maybe expand that a little bit. If you had picked up one of our joys and concerns at the entrances to the building and took a look at this list, you would see what other people need to survive this day. Some on that list need strength to survive chemo. Some need peace in a storm. Some need the doctors to finally figure something out. Some are celebrating where God has already provided. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, interestingly, I do know people who struggle to pray for other people because they have so many of their own concerns. I know other people, though, who struggle to pray for themselves because they think so many others have bigger problems. God can't be bothered by my little things. So if you fall in that I pray for myself category but not others, remember that Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It is a communal thing. But if you are one of those who finds it easy to pray for others, not for yourself, remember that Jesus cares even about the bread you eat. He wants us to pray, even for those small things that you think he shouldn't be bothered with. He cares. Now, if you're not praying at all, Well, this is a great day to start being a daily shopper with God. So to recap, when Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread," he's encouraging us to be daily shoppers with God. Don't do a Costco run with God and store it up once a week. Connect with God this day, every day. And this prayer covers all of our physical needs, not just food, but everything we need to survive this day. But Jesus also encourages us to pray for other people's needs too. So how are you going to pray this day? And how will you pray when tomorrow becomes this day? And what about when Tuesday becomes this day? Will you still be a daily shopper with God? There is at least one danger, though, in this prayer. N.T. Wright wrote of this, "The danger with the prayer for bread is that we get there too soon." Let me repeat that. The danger with the prayer for bread is that we get there too soon. I mean, notice where Jesus put this in his prayer. Does it come first? No. It's in the middle. It comes after "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." All of that comes first. So think back on some of your recent prayers. How did they start? I know I often launch right into my prayers for daily bread. "Holy God, please help me by." "Heavenly Father, I'm in desperate need of." "Holy Spirit, reveal to me." I jump right into the daily prayer, the daily bread prayer. But I believe Jesus intentionally put this in the middle. Now, I'm a big Downton Abbey fan, and I'll be lamenting, I think, after tonight. But one of the characters, Mr. Barrow, is always looking out for himself. So whenever he's nice to someone, everyone's wondering, you know, what's his angle? What is he after? Do you know anyone who is just trying to get something for themselves? Every time they talk with you, they're angling for something. Do you have a friend or a family member who calls only when they need something? Or maybe a kid in college who, if the phone is ringing, that probably means they need money. If we always launch right into our daily bread prayer, our wish list, then aren't we just being Mr. Barrow to God? Aren't we being that me first friend or family member? Aren't we being the kind of person whose calls we would want to dodge? Don't get to bread too soon. We start with our Father and we get to reinforce our relationship with God, that close relationship. Then we remember God's power and might as we hallow God's name. Then we get to pray for God's will, not my will, but God's will to be done. And only then do we reach our daily bread prayer. So thinking of your prayers, are you jumping to bread too soon? I usually am. I need to reinforce my relationship with God. I need to remember God's power and might and pray for God's will before my will to be done. Now, next week, we are going to organize a way for us all to do this, to put this into practice, to reinforce our relationship with God, to remember God's power and might, to pray for God's will to be done, and then to ask for daily bread, not for ourselves, but for our neighbors. Next Sunday, we're inviting everyone who is able, set aside 20, 30 minutes, and walk one of the blocks around our church. Pray for the businesses you see. Pray for the organizations you see. Pray for the people in the houses or the apartments and whatever else you see. I've heard from a few groups that they're taking blocks together. There's no need to really sign up, although I would love to hear if you're going to do it so I can celebrate with you and if your group is going to do it, but you can just next Sunday decide to do it. If you want to join me, I'm going to do West Block number 2 on the map that is taped to the office so I can walk by Charlie's preschool and pray for the students that I know, pray for the teachers that we've come to know, pray for the parents. Welcome to join me on West number 2 block. Go take a look at that map maybe after the service today. There's a couple of handouts. Next week we're going to have handouts for every single one of the blocks that's in red. There's a lot of them. And there are ideas to pray for as you walk. If you walk the block across the street and you walk by a Romano's, pray for their business to continue to succeed and thank God for our partnership with them. When you walk by the eye care business across the street, pray for all of those who have trouble with their sight. If you walk by the car repair shop, pray for everyone who has transportation needs and issues. If you walk by with me that block with the preschool, pray for the parents, pray for the teachers, pray for the administrators, pray especially for the kids with developmental challenges that go to that school. If you walk the block with the rec center, pray for the health of our city. You get the idea. Most importantly, though, we aren't handing anything out. This is not about promoting a church event. This isn't about getting the people from our community to join us. This is about our hearts, our prayer, our relationship with God. This is about changing how we pray, orienting our hearts around those around us, being for others, and being a church that is for others, not just what's in it for us. And so I encourage you, I invite you to invest in your prayer life next week. Invest in your heart. Invest in your compassion for our neighbors next week and walk a block. Maybe get a group from the church. If you're in a Bible study, try to get them with you. If you can't walk, I know many people can't, drive the block slowly. People wonder what you're doing. They might call the cops on you, but maybe only do it once. And then park on the block and pray for what you've seen. Pray for their relationship with God. Pray for them to know the power and might of God. Pray for their daily bread. I believe our hearts will change if we do this. Sisters and brothers, Jesus encourages us to be daily shoppers, to pray daily, this day, not just a once a week Costco run. And he encourages us to pray even for the smallest things, the things we think God can't be bothered with. Jesus says, pray for those. Anything you need to survive this day. But remember, he also placed it in the middle for a reason. How will you start your prayers this week? And what daily bread do you need this day? Amen.